welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Just the Spirit of God is ministering to you and just working some things out in your spirit. I really believe that God wants to do a kind of a special, the message this morning, you'll know, this is going to be kind of a special kind of inner work that God does, I believe, in each one of us in our own way. And I'm just trusting He's going to do that. He's going to just show you some really good stuff this morning as it relates to your walk with Him. So we're going to go ahead and start out with in a passage of Scripture in the Gospel, Matthew chapter 14. And you might recognize the story. It says in verse 25, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water.' So He said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand, caught him, and said to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." Of course, the story of Peter walking on the water. And this story is such an amazing story in so many different levels because of the fact Peter walked on the water. He just said, "Lord, if this is You, bid me to come." And so in that moment, Jesus said, "Come." So Peter knew, this is the Lord, this is His will, He has His word, He's looking at Him, come. He knows the will of God. And he steps out of the will of God, and he walks on that water. But something happens as he begins to walk on the water. He sees something. As a fisherman, he sees something that's connected to danger in his mind. He's been on the waters many times, as I'm sure many fishermen's stories tell, about wind and waves and boats and maybe capsized or near capsized occurrences. And when he saw that, all of a sudden, the fact that he was supernaturally walking on the water left him. And he was focused on the wind noise and he began to sink. And the Lord, he said, "Save me, Lord, the Lord, save him." He said, "Oh, why did you doubt?" You know, and this is quite a story because the two things that are really coming to play in the story that are so powerful is the truth, the fact that Jesus wanted him to walk on that water, to come out to him. And then Peter trusting that truth, trusting in what Jesus told him to do. So as Peter steps out of that boat and begins to walk on the water, sees something, then his trust was shaken. You know, trust and truth are two different things. Truth is a noun. It's what you believe in. Trust is a verb. It's what you do with what you believe in. It's doing, it's practicing, it's putting your heart into something. And so Peter had a conflict with what he knew was true, and yet trust based on what he could see. And, the title of the message today is simply Trusting the Truth. All right? Trusting the Truth. This message is not designed to challenge your theology in any way. This message is designed to challenge your trust in your theology, your trust in what you know to be true. You know, you can hear something from the Word of God, and because you have the Holy Spirit in you, you know it's true, it rings true. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Go, wow, that's good, that's God, I know that's right, that's true. But in the moment, when you're experiencing something, you know, I remember, I think I referenced this last week too, but that kid's movie Aladdin. You know, one of the profound scenes in that movie of Aladdin is when he's on his little carpet and he reaches back to Princess Jasmine and he says, "Do you trust me? Do you trust me?" She's kind of wondering, am I going to get on that magic carpet with him or not, you know, and fly around. But she kind of had some history there, and she says, "Yes, I do. I trust you." You know? And that's kind of what happens with the Word of God in our life. We're coming up to that situation. Maybe it is a relationship issue. And then all of a sudden, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. In the moment, do you trust me? Do you trust me? This is about your theology. This is about trusting your theology. Trusting what you believe. Trusting what you know, what you have a witness is true when you're reading it in devotion time or hearing it on Sunday morning. Do you trust me? Trusting the truth. Trusting your theology. Trusting what you say you believe. Trusting what you know in your heart already to be true. This is such a big inflection point. This is where we can get such traction in our walk spiritually with God. And so, we're just going to look at a few different ways that you can develop that trust. Because a lot of times you think, well, it's almost a, you know, am I going to be a doer of the word? Am I going to, you know, say the right thing, do the right thing? It's important to realize that trust isn't just like something you do to perform, or trust is something that you can develop. You can develop trust in the same way you had to develop your knowledge of the Word. You came to church services, you did some study, you did devotion times. You built in you through process over time what you believe in your heart. And it takes time to build that in you. You know, it takes time to build the truth in you, to hide the truth in your heart. There's a process to it. But you can develop trust. You can develop strong trust in the truth. And there's a few different, just a few things that I want to just talk about this morning that you can on purpose say, this is just about what I believe. I trust what I believe in the moment. Do you trust me? The Holy Spirit brings the scripture to your mind. And if you're not in the right place, that scripture can be nagging almost. But at other times, it's like, oh, that's it. That's the Holy Spirit saying, do you trust me? He brings those scriptures. Or what you know is true. Do you trust me? Do you trust the truth? I know you get it right on a test, but you're in the moment. Do you trust the truth in the moment? So, trusting the truth. One of the first ways we develop trust in the truth is simply speaking the word of truth. When you begin to declare and speak the word of truth, you actually develop a trust in that truth. Romans puts it this way, Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes. He didn't say truth comes. Faith comes by hearing. There is something about hearing the word of God spoken that stirs up faith. Faith is trust. Faith is when you're trusting. And the hearing of truth stirs up trust. It stirs it up. That Psalm 1 guy, he would just meditate in the word day and night. Just stirring up, not to become a scholar of truth, but to stir up faith. To realize we are creatures human beings who can forget things and be distracted. And it's important to realize that we have to stir up faith by hearing truth. You know, the Bible says that the cares of the world, well, put it this way, the Bible doesn't say the cares of the world will choke your theology. The Bible says the cares of the world will choke the word in your heart. That's the effect of the cares and the distractions of the world. I heard it put this way one time. You know, in your car, you've got gauges. You've got a gas gauge, temperature gauge, different gauges. And you look at those gauges to make sure that your car is in good, healthy, working order. And it's kind of true in our own life spiritually. In our heart, we've got some gauges that can help us know how we're doing. You know, you got a peace gauge, right? How is the peace passing your understanding, keeping your heart and mind in Christ? There's a joy gauge. You can tell where the joy of the Lord is your strength. But there's also, I just say, a word gauge. And that's where the word is precious. And if you're a believer, been a believer for any amount of time, that gauge has been in different directions of all these gauges, all right, as you're maintaining your spiritual life. And there are times where, like I said, the word, you know, the word can almost come back and haunt me or nag me. Or, yeah, I know if that's what the Bible says. But then there's other times when the word is precious. And, wow, that's the word. Now, my theology is that the word is, the Bible's the word of God the whole time. All right? I'm talking about the attitude in my heart. I'm talking about trusting the truth. When I'm hearing the word of God, it helps, it changes my attitude toward the word of God, the preciousness of the word of God, my respect for the word of God. You understand? I can believe the Bible's the word of God all the way through, but have different attitudes toward the word in my heart as it relates to the circumstances and things that I'm going through. And I'm saying, don't feel bad because you, maybe the gauge is over here, and it's like, ah, oh, the word, oh, I know, I haven't been, how long has it been since I've been in that book? I feel condemned when I look at it, you know, that kind of thing. To not do that, but to realize there's a process where I can develop trust. I'm going to get back in the word. Don't need any inspiration. I'm going to begin to declare that word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's just something about hearing the word declared that the Holy Spirit in you gets excited about. Stirs up trust. Stirs up faith. It stirs it up. So it's not a matter of, I got to perform. I'm doing something as much as I would do natural exercise. I'm exercising like that Psalm 1 guy, meditating in the word, stirring up faith. So that when the moment comes, when I need to trust the truth and walk on the water, I've developed that trust, and that preciousness of the word is strong in me. I've read, you know, like I said, there's a word, I just like, I'm excited to read the word. Because that word is so true. You know, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find health to all their flesh. You get excited about that. It's like the word of God. Praise God. That's when that trust is getting strong. It's getting built up. Not only that, but another aspect of speaking the word of truth to help develop your trusting in the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Apostle Paul said, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. I believed, therefore I spoke. And there is just something about it. You know, the Holy Spirit will bring things to your remembrance, to remind you of things. He doesn't just remind you of things to think about them and to emotionally or mentally have a happy thought. He will bring things to your remembrance for you to speak of. You believe, and therefore you spoke, so that in the moment you can have that. It's one thing to know theologically, having been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. It's another thing in the moment when you're feeling fear to declare, I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. This is exactly what Jesus did when he was tempted of the devil. When he had eat for 40 days, and Satan says, turn the stones into bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He believed and therefore he spoke. You don't have to feel it. You know it. Speak it. You don't have to feel inspired to speak it. The Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance. Don't let it haunt you. Speak it. The excitement, the stirring will come later sometimes. But there's a speaking. Just by faith, speaking and declaring the word of God, that it's going to actually stir up what the Spirit of God, what the truth of the word of God. So it's important to note, the cares of the world, they're after the word. The cares of the world are here to choke the word, to distract from the preciousness of the word of God. And that's where we're going, okay, now I'm going to begin to speak and declare the word. I'm not going to wait until I get real spiritual and then speak. I'm going to begin to speak and declare the word of God right now. Jesus said this too. He said in Mark 11, he said, so Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. But you see here, Jesus says, have faith in God. Whoever says to that mountain, be thou removed. You know, we have a phrase that we'll use a lot in our day and age, put your money where your mouth is. God basically is saying, put your mouth where your faith is. Put your mouth where your theology is. Declare what you believe. We can all see the mountain, but begin to speak. Begin to declare. Have faith in God. It's not you just doing something on your own. Have faith in God, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So as you're speaking to the mountain, you're speaking to it with faith in God. What you're saying is connected to your faith in God. You're saying, you're declaring. But it's interesting, he says, and when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, when you look at this, again, this passage, be thou removed, and he says, whoever says in this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That and shall not doubt in his heart phrase can sometimes be one that trips us up. Can I say it and not doubt in my heart? How can I say it and not doubt in my heart? As you begin to say things, as you begin to declare things, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But there's also another powerful truth here. And when you stand praying, forgive. Do you know that love and forgiveness is strongly connected to your faith? When you can die to self in a way that you can forgive others even as you've been forgiven, that part of self that dies will also stop fighting you when it comes to doubting in your heart. There's a death there. That's why we're challenged to walk in love and to forgive and to bless. There is something that happens when we walk in love. Faith really does work by love. There's a real profound connection between declaring and speaking and forgiving. You know, you're not going to have the strong speaking faith mountain-moving thing apart from love, apart from forgiveness, apart from grace. So as you're challenged to walk and trust, you're going to find some things start to get purged out of your life. You're going to find certain bitternesses and anger and hatred. That's got to go. No, I'm forgiving even as. There's a walk of love that just comes along, you know, and a clearing that happens as you begin to speak and declare things and get your heart free and clear. Finally, just as it relates to speaking the word of truth, as we're trusting in him, James says, look also at ships. Also, they're so large and driven by fierce winds, yet they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the captain desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member of those great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindleth. Here again, the power of speaking truth. How great a ship can be turned. Julie and I were blessed with the cruise this past winter, and we, for the first time, experienced one of these big ships. It's like a city on the water. Huge. I mean, it was amazing. We got all of our Fitbit steps in every day just by going out about that ship because it was so vast. And yet, we didn't do the tour, but you could tour the captain's quarters and that little room, that little area in that one part of the ship where it all happened, where they steered the ship. This huge city. It is steered with just a very small rudder compared to the size of this fantastic ship. And the scripture says that's a lot like our tongues. This tongue steers us. Our lives are steered by our tongue. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our tongue gives away what's in our heart. When we don't cast cares to the Lord, when we allow things to sit and fester, it comes out our mouth. And not to be condemned by it, but let it be kind of an indicator. Okay, Lord, another gauge. I'm going to begin to steer. And this is where you, by faith, begin to steer your life. What am I doing? I'm developing trust in the truth. I already got theology. I got great theology. I mean, we're all growing in theology. It's not like we're all arrived. But a lot of us have pretty good theology, pretty sound theology. But it's a matter of trusting that in the moment. Trusting what God has said. And this is where I'm going to begin to say, all right, I'm going to begin to declare. I'm not declaring where I am. I'm declaring where I want to go. Because that's the rudder. I'm steering where I want to go. And when you turn that ship around, you know, we're going, you know, we were going in the Mediterranean, and we could feel ourselves turning toward the Cayman Islands.
Caribbean. You said Mediterranean.
I'm sorry, Caribbean. We were in the Caribbean, and you know, you just feel like you're straight, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's that turn. But it's very slow, it's not quick, it's very gradual. And that's a lot of times what you're doing. I grew up fishing with my outboard motor. You're turning, and it's gradual. That's what you're doing with the rudder of your tongue. You know, I heard a story of one of our Bible school teachers told, as he was ministering to this young guy, he said he had such a problem with cigarettes, all right? And the guy was talking to our teacher, and he said, I just can't stop smoking. I just can't stop this nicotine habit. No matter what I do, I just can't stop it. I got to smoke. And he said, as he was listening to him, he was just speaking that I can't do this. I can't overcome. He loved God, knew the Word of God, knew the Spirit, but there was just this addiction. You know, weights and sins that so easily beset you, all right? They're not the same for all of us, but we all have different things. That might be. But this guy was smoking. Our teacher said to him, he said, you know what, begin to say this, because it's true. You know, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. It is theologically an airtight, shut case that you have the power in you to not have to do that. All right? That's just true. That's just theologically true. He said, this is what I want you to do. He says, when you're tempted to smoke, he said, I just want you to declare out loud, I am free from the power of nicotine in Jesus' name. He said, even if you're pulling out a cigarette and getting ready to light it up, before you light it up, I want you to say out loud, I am free from the power of nicotine in Jesus' name. Between puffs, and say, I am free from the power of nicotine in Jesus' name. He thought, well, this is kind of, are you serious? Really? Well, I'm smoking. He said, yes, begin to declare it. Begin to say it. Begin to do that. See, this is where we try to, I'm going to get victory, and I'm not going to do that. You're going to get victory as you're walking things out. This is where your faith is. This is where you're going to be trusting what you believe. And he said, this guy was like, wow, really? Because I'm already lighting up, though, right? And I'm still declaring that out loud. Yes. Declare it in the middle of that. Say, I am free from the power of nicotine in Jesus. It seems like, well, it kind of feel like hypocrisy. I'm taking a puff and I'm declaring that. Well, I'm not taking a puff and declaring it because I've already arrived. I'm steering where I want to go. This is where I'm going in Jesus' name. I'm overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony that I'm free in Jesus, overcoming in Jesus' name. There is a process to it. We're trying to wait to get perfect. But in the middle of stuff, it's in the middle of your own going through stuff, begin to declare the victory and the truth of God's word. He said that guy came back from the, like, he said he was right in the middle of a puff, and he said, this is ridiculous, because he'd been faithfully doing that. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he began to build faith in that one fact. I am free from the power of nicotine. And at one point, he believed it. And it's like, I don't want this. No. No, no, I'm not going to. I am free. He believed it in his heart. That begins to happen. Trust in the truth. It's not an all or nothing. Am I going to trust him in the moment? I don't care in the moment. If you're in the middle of the moment, begin to declare. Open your mouth. Declare the word of God. Overcoming. Jesus, help. I'm going for you. I'm steering. The rudder of my tongue that is steering the ship is steering in a direction of righteousness. Righteousness. I'm steering in that direction. I'm going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, whether you had that great devotion time in the morning and you're having the perfect day or not, or the cares of the world are choking you and you're tempted to go down a path, begin in the middle of that, begin to declare the Word of God. This is trusting the truth, developing trust in the truth, not having a Pollyanna view that everything is just in perfect straight lines. I'm declaring in the middle of stuff the truth of God's Word because it's true. But if I'm faithless, He remains faithful and He's true to His Word. And my heart is crying out for that truth and meditating in the Word of God. So we're talking about trusting the truth. There's process in trusting the truth. In those contexts of life, begin to declare and speak the Word of God. The other aspect of just trusting the truth and developing in that is not just speaking the Word of truth, but it's stirring up the Spirit of truth. There's a stirring up of the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit lives in us. Jesus promised. He said that, you know, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He's going to lead and guide you in all truth. If I don't go, He won't come. But if I go, I'll send Him to you. And so we're given that admonition in Timothy. You know, He says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But before He says He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, He says, stir up the gift that is on the inside of you. One of the great ways you stir up the gift that is on the inside of you is what we did this morning. When you begin to worship in spirit and in truth, you begin to declare God, the God of angel armies. This is how I fight my battles. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. That's what you do. What are you doing? You're declaring. You're declaring the Word of God. And I like that song where, you know, sing a little louder. There's maybe some things warring against your mind, but you're singing, you're declaring. What are you doing when you're singing? You are stirring up the Spirit of God on the inside of you because the Spirit bears witness to truth. And when you're singing in spirit, you're singing lyrics that are rooted in the truth of God's Word. The Holy Ghost just has to amen those things. And you sense that amen in your heart, and it stirs up. And that same familiar witness that says that's true, and that's true, and that's true, can now begin to also witness to other things in your life that are true. But you're stirring up the Holy Spirit in a way that you're getting tuned in spiritually in your ears to what that witness and that peace is familiar to you again. And so there's a stirring up the Spirit of God, you know, in the sense of worship. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesians this. He said, do not be drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Praise God. So there it is again. You're getting filled up with the Spirit of God. It is an interesting thing. You're giving out, you're singing out. You're thinking about God, but as you're giving out, something is happening in. There's a strengthening of your spirit that you experience on the inside. You're just going to where the presence of God is. Now, I love a couple of scriptures. Says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. You know, I think Judy had shared during Awaken the Dawn a scripture about how the hot sun or something kind of melts away, or it destroys evil or wickedness or something like that. And there's a couple scriptures that are kind of along those lines. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. And that no flesh can glory in the presence of God. Are you fed up with your flesh? Frustrated with your flesh? You want to experience liberty? Then just go where the presence of God is. You get in the presence of God, and your flesh loses that pull. Because you're just going. You're not trying to be spiritual. You're just going where spiritual is. You're just getting filled up with the Holy Spirit. You're just getting filled up, and that's this. It's like the inward man, that spirit, just takes ascendancy. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And there's just a building up on your most holy faith. There's a strengthening of spirit. That happens through worship. As we begin to worship and declare the goodness of God and the glory of God. It's kind of like this morning, too, we were talking about. You're trying to overcome the flesh world. You got to do it with a clear conscience. You got to start with the mercy and the grace of God that cleanses your conscience. And from that place of victory, you overcome the world. the flesh, the world, and the devil. It's the same way with that sword of the Spirit. I might be in the middle of weights and sins that so easily beset me, but that's not the time to be condemned. That's the time to pull out that sword of the Spirit and begin to speak and declare the Word of God in the middle of that. Sometimes we almost kind of think like there's a sacredness of our own flesh, or a sacredness of the flesh, where that there's no sacredness in the flesh. There's only isolation that the enemy uses to control. In the middle of that isolation, pull out that sword and say, there's nothing sacred. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. All things are naked and open before Him. I'll pull out that Word of God, that sword of the Spirit. Raise a hallelujah in the middle of the jail cells for the Apostle Paul in time. But you'll notice he also says in verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He likens drunkenness with alcohol to that of being filled with the Spirit. The thing that natural drunkenness can have in common with being filled with the Spirit is it removes inhibitions. All right? Natural drunkenness will remove inhibitions in a bad way that will cause you to say and do things of poor judgment, you know, in a not caring when you do need to be considerate, all right? And that's a bad, can be destructive even. But when it comes to being filled with the Spirit, it removes your inhibitions in a good way. When you don't have the fear of man and constantly trying to worry about what other people think, you know the right thing to do, you know the right thing to say, and you can speak the truth in love. Getting full of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about trusting the truth, where in the moment you are intoxicated in a good way, being filled with the Spirit, and you can begin to say, this is the Word, this is what's true, this is what's right. It's simple, and I know it, and that's it, and that's God. Yes, I'm going to think on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. It is written. Praise God. It's not nagging me. I have the power to live the Word of God. I have the power to trust. You know, that's what Jesus said. He said, stay here, tarry in Jerusalem. You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that's another powerful way that we develop in terms of trusting the truth, is stirring up the Spirit of truth. We pray and we worship. But, you know, the Scripture also talks about don't be drunk with wine, whereas excessive, be filled with the Spirit. Here's an actual example where we see that mistakenness almost for drunkenness. This is Acts chapter 2. Verse 15, this is the Apostle Peter about ready to give a sermon right after the Holy Spirit fell and they began to speak with tongues. And he said, these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants, and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. This is talking about the power of God in your life, the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a power of the Holy Spirit. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's a baptism in the Holy Spirit, where God gives you power and strength, a strengthening by His Spirit of the inner man, but a strengthening in prayer language. Where you can begin to, the Scripture says, edify yourself, build yourselves up, praying in the Holy Spirit. God gave us that gift. He gave that to His church. Now, I wasn't really raised in this. I was raised Lutheran, so this is kind of a new concept for me. And I kind of actually came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit in kind of a strange way. I had been dating a gal, not Julie, but a gal who was part of a church who believed that you had to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Other tongues, they didn't speak in tongues, and really didn't have the Holy Spirit, weren't even a Christian. But wow. I mean, I've been living for God, serving God, knowing God, walking with the Holy Spirit for years before that. So it came along too late to tell me that I wasn't a Christian because I didn't speak in tongues. I knew better than that. That wasn't right. But it got me mad enough to start wondering what's going on here with this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Began to search things out, and part of me didn't want it to be true. Didn't want it to be for today because I felt offended by that. But I couldn't get away from it. It was in the Word of God. And so I had to begin to search it and study it out for myself. And I began to see that there was a few different schools of thought. There was a school of thought that said, well, once the Scripture was completed in 90 AD, I guess when the Apostle John, put his final pen on the book of Revelation, They're what we call the canon of Scripture. In other words, Scripture stopped them. All right? And there's a lot of people who believe, theologically, that when the Scripture was closed, that's when the works of the Holy Spirit also ceased at that point. It's like, when that which is perfect has come, the Word of God, then the gifts of the Spirit stop. All right? So there's kind of like this wall, maybe around 90 AD, that finished Scripture, and that's when all the activity and the power and the miracles and the gifts, the prophesying, it all kind of stopped there with this wall. And there are other people that believe, no, that those gifts are for today. Those gifts are for the church age, not just for the Bible writing age, but for the whole church age. Those gifts were given to the church. And so I'm in my theological dilemma trying to figure out who's right. You know, I'm just researching it out. You know, and I got to work out my own salvation. I got to figure it out in my own sense. And as I just began to look at the Scriptures myself, as I began to look at things, and this thing called what I'm calling is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is when you begin to speak in an unknown tongue, a language, spiritual gift that God gives you. And I began to read at the end of Peter's sermon, he said, this gift is for you and for as many as shall call upon the name of our Lord. He was talking to the subject matter was, well, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out. And I couldn't get away from that. And I began to realize, and I made a decision in my heart, you know what? This wasn't just for, you know, I guess 58 years from the resurrection of Christ to when John penned the last, but these gifts of the Spirit were meant to be for that whole church age. And especially when you begin to see, man, you look at the Scripture, it says, it shall come to pass in the last days. In the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. In the last days, sons and daughters shall prophesy. In the last days, you're going to see visions and dreams. If this prophecy is true, that these are not the last days. These things are going to happen in the last days. We would have been talking about a little period of time. No. These are the last days. These are the last days when we need the power of God more than anything before. We need the life of the Spirit of God more than any time we've ever lived in human existence. We need the power of God in the earth. And I realized it, and I knew in my spirit, these are the last days. No, our sons and daughters still prophesy. We still have visions. We still have dreams. We need them today. If it was just for a certain time, then the last days are boxed out by that theological wall. They have no more expression. They're back here. No, I knew in my heart the gifts of the Spirit were for today. And I had a question. I just knew in my spirit, my heart, you could see, you know, preachers are kind of like theological politicians almost, arguing a case theologically. And so I listened to the theological politicians. But at some point, you got to listen in your own heart. What is it? That's a good case, politician. That's a good case for the theological wall. There's a good case for the full dispensation, that these gifts were given to you for the church age, so the whole church could function in these things, in this age. And make me some different compelling arguments. In my spirit, I knew this is for the church age. The Spirit of God is saying, yes, Ed, I want you to be able to speak in that language. I want you to have that dimension in prayer where you can speak from your heart and express things. And I just realized there's just something that rose up in me. And there was a hunger and a desire for that, for the fullness of the Spirit. You know? And I look at that argument. But there was something, maybe this is kind of the Ronald Reagan, inner Ronald Reagan. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. There was like a something to add, Mr. Theologian, tear down that wall. The flood of the Holy Spirit's for now. It's for today. It's for you to prophesy, have dreams, visions, the fullness of the power, the gifts of the Spirit. You've got tongues and interpretation of tongues. A supernatural utterance where God, through an unknown tongue, communicates his heart. And through an interpretation of that tongue, to express in plain English or whatever your known language is, the meaning of that unknown language to give you a word of encouragement and understanding. There's the gift of prophecy, which is a word of edification, to build you up, to encourage you, to exhort you. We need that today. We need that in these last days. These gifts are for today. They're for now. They're for you. We need gifts, sealings, supernatural gifts where God will anoint people supernaturally. There's a, we can believe by faith for healing, but there are gifts of healing that we can desire and believe where God will supernaturally lay hands on the sick and people will recover because they have a gift that they're functioning in of healing, an anointing on them to heal. Sometimes it can be different areas of healing. It could be cancer, it could be ears, it could be eyes. There are gifts, plural, of healings, plural. There is a gift of special faith. Again, here we know we have faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But there's a gift of special faith. There's something that comes on you, and you can do supernatural, special things. What does the scripture say? Don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Don't be ignorant of these things. Be aware of them. Be aware that God wants to move on you, and there are going to be times as the Spirit wills, where He'll come on you to do supernatural things, where in your own natural, normal faith, think, wow, but something comes on you, that gift, and you begin to do powerful things by the Spirit of God. So you've got that gift of special faith. You've got that working of miracles. There's also a word of wisdom, where you're going to know supernaturally things out in the future that you couldn't know by your own natural sense. God gives that to you. Have you ever had that? I've had this happen in my prayer time. I'm having a devotion time, and all of a sudden I see something in my mind's eye, and later on it plays out that day. That's just the word of wisdom. We don't have to stop and frame it and make a big deal of it, but those are subtle things that the Spirit of God is today working in you. That's a word, or a word of knowledge. You can look at somebody and be able to see and know something supernatural. Word of knowledge is simply facts that are present or past. Word of wisdom is future. Word of knowledge is present or past. You can just know something supernatural by the Spirit of God about somebody that He just shows you to help you to minister to that person. I've had things that I've discerned and I know things. It's just like, wow, praise God. Those are helps. Those are ministry gifts to help you. There's the discerning of spirits, all right? The discerning of spirit, discerning means to see. Spirit is pneuma. It gives you the ability to see into the spirit realm. I know by faith that there are angels here. I know by faith that the prince of the power of the air has powers and principalities, demonic forces. But when God grants you the gift of the discerning spirit, you can see into the spirit realm supernaturally beyond your natural eyes. And He'll show you things to help you to be able to minister things, to be able to do certain things. It's powerful when He does that. I mean, the Apostle Peter, he was on his rooftop, and all of a sudden saw this big sheet come down with all these animals that he couldn't eat as a good Jew. And the Lord said, slay me, Peter. He said, no, Lord, not me. Did that three times. And at the end of that vision, he realized later that the Lord was showing him that He wanted the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, to be able to be Christians too. Well, nobody could see that sheep of Peter. He was looking, he was seeing something spiritual. He was seeing the spirit realm. God will supernaturally grant you things. And what does the Lord say? He says, in the Word, He says, desire the best gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. There needs to be a stirring up of the Spirit of truth, a stirring up of desire for the things of the Spirit, a stirring up of desire for those things. Yeah, I mean, I knew immediately from doing all my theological groundwork ahead of time before the baptism of the Holy Spirit that the moment I decided that I believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the moment I spoke in tongues, I would immediately be categorized right over there with somebody's great aunt Mildred who spoke in tongues and barked at the moon like a mad dog. All right? I knew that, but I didn't care. Because when you lose those inhibitions in a good way, in the fear of man and the political and theological acceptance, you don't care. You want the power of God in your life no matter what. You're going to go after Him and get full of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about trusting in the truth. We're talking about walking out what you believe. There's things you do to stir up the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit of God is stirred up on the inside of you when you're living with an active interaction with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's just a lot of stuff that goes out the door. You're kind of in a place in a zone where you're believing and going and living and thriving. And you're living from a place. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth has come. He'll lead and guide you with all truth. And He will abide with you forever. He will abide with you forever. These gifts are to be with us during this time. We need these gifts. A part of trusting the truth. It's not just about going through life with airtight theology. It's about trusting what we say we believe is true. Get stirred up in the Holy Spirit. Before that, he says, stir up the spirit of power. Stir up the spirit of love. Stir up the spirit of a sound mind. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray in the Spirit. And I want to tell you, if you're a believer, you can experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This gift is for you. It belongs to you. It doesn't make God love you any better. It doesn't make you any better Christian than anybody else. It's not a spiritual credential that you compare yourselves amongst yourselves. Mention in prayer that you have that allows you to build yourself up on your strength in your spirit to help you get in touch with spiritual things and can help open your spirit to the other areas of the gifts of the Spirit that belong to you in Christ. This is a big deal in the sense that there's power here. And there's something. This was a blessing to me. I remember I went around trying to get everybody to lay hands on me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I got froze up. So I knew one thing. It's going to be real. Like, I'm not going to for anybody. I was just in my own bed one night, and I was just worshiping God. And all of a sudden, as I'm just worshiping God, what is there? There's freedom. And in that place of liberty, I just allowed myself to begin to speak by faith those words just from my spirit. And out of my mouth began to flow a simple little couple syllable language. But it wasn't coming from my mouth, it was coming from my spirit. That was so simple. Why was I thinking? It's simple. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is simple. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in another tongue, in another language, let me know. If you want to know more, you want me to pray, let me know. I would love to further pray. He would show you some stuff. I had a pastor back in Eau Claire who really helped me. Samarian revival. They were saved. They were baptized. And the apostles came to lay hands on them to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a subsequent experience. But it belongs to you, and it's a blessing, and it will bless your life. I just wanted to throw that out as the final encouragement. So, trusting the truth. Alive. It is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. His spirit is alive. Jesus is alive. Connect to the different parts of life. That's when trusting the truth really becomes. That's not sacred time. The Almighty Heavenly Father. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We can say what's true about us. We can let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're redeemed. We're loved by God. Nothing can separate us from your love. You are for us. If you're for us, who can be against us? We do have a spirit of power, love, and a sound. Liberation comes. The Spirit of God bears witness and says amen. Father God, we want to develop that trust in your word also just to begin to develop the stirring up the spirit of truth who's in us. Oh, that is so cool, Lord. With a heavenly language. Oh, that can allow you to speak from your heart. We're just ministering to each heart here. Situations and the stuff we're endeavoring to overcome. What is? There's a trust that rises up.